Hello, growers of the world. Thank you for tuning in to GrowCast today. I'm Jordan River. We've got a great episode for you. Requires a little bit of explaining. We have the great Stephen Raisner back on, and we're chatting about everything he's been up to and aquaponic growing and cultivation in general and more. But then he takes us on a little video tour of the farm that he's currently consulting on down in Oklahoma, Organic Innovation. So the second half of this audio podcast is audio from a video clips. So if you want to see that video, you got to go to the GrowCast YouTube channel. I left it in here because he says some cool stuff. And if you guys are working in your garden, I figure you'll give it a listen while you're working. But if you want to see the setup, subscribe to our YouTube page, GrowCast, growcastpodcast.com/YouTube, or just search us on YouTube. Find us there, subscribe, check out the video. Stephen Raisner was very kind to let us tour the farm that he was working on. Shout out to Organic Innovations as well for being so kind about that. Before we jump into today's episode, let's give some love to Rooted Life, everyone. Rootedlyfe.com is where you need to go. GrowCast gets you 10% off your CBD products, and members of mygrowpass.com get 20% off their CBD products from Rooted Life. Are you confused about how to use CBD? Of course we are. Are you overwhelmed by the amount of product choices out there? Rooted Life is here to help you. Their mission is to simplify your CBD experience. They've got a whole team of cannabis specializing advisory doctors to oversee their vast educational program. You can get in on it now at rootedlife.com. Promo code GrowCast gets you 10% off. MyGrowPass.com getting 20% off. And also a huge shout out to Canna Planners. That's right, cannaplanners.com. We get asked a lot by guests and fans who are looking to start a cannabis business website where they can go. Cannaplanners.com is where you need to go. And they did Rooted Life. If you like Rooted Life's website and you're looking for a website for your brand, Canna Planners is who created that. So I thought there'd be no better place to shout them out than right here. CannaPlanners.com, normalizing the emerging cannabis industry through beautiful design and professional web and digital marketing solutions. They create beautiful websites for cannabis businesses. Go to CannaPlanners.com if you need one. Let them know GrowCast sent you. They're friends of the show, so let them know you heard it here. Okay, let's get into the show with Stephen Raisner. Thank you all for tuning in. Enjoy the program. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started, please share GrowCast with a friend, with a grower, with a smoker. You know the drill. We appreciate you sharing the show. Check out the Homegrown Helpers by Rob Smith for more growing talk and the Coffee, Health, and Science podcast. Having so much fun with the Coffee, Health, and Science podcast. So excited to dive into today's episode. A return guest, a show favorite, truly one of my favorite people to speak to, Stephen Raisner, a.k.a. Potent Ponics, is with us today. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing really good. Well, Jordan, thanks for inviting me on the show.
Yeah, as good as you can be in these crazy times.
Yeah, given the craziness, and right before we started the show, we had a state inspector show up kind of unannounced. So it's been a crazy day. So it's been fun.
Oh, my God. Man, you're always in it. I love the stories. And it's been no different since last we spoke. It sounds like you've been on a crazy ride. I saw you were out working in Zimbabwe. It was weird because I was on a trip to Colombia with a Zimbabwean coffee farmer when I was pulling up your photos. And what were you working on there? An aquaponic cannabis setup?
Yeah. So we have I work with a company there called Agilian. We have outside of Kadoma in Zimbabwe, it's about 2 hours from Harare, which is the capital. We have a 750-acre farm, and we'll be doing aquaponic nurseries, and then that'll support over 600 acres of outdoor just in the ground that we'll be doing off of that. So it's quite the facility.
That's incredible. What does it look like out there? Are there only kind of state licensed facilities like that one working? Is anyone allowed to grow? What are the laws like?
Sure. So Zimbabwe's kind of had an interesting path to get to where they are today. They first started off where the state wanted to own 40% of all the cannabis companies in the country, which immediately turned off most foreign investment. And they've since changed their mind. I think it's like 3% now, plus a tax. They're putting a tax base in instead. So it's much more swallowable. Initially, they issued around 24 licenses, but you had to be on government land. So you had to be like, we're right next to an Air Force base. So if we have a problem, I can have dudes with tanks there in about 10 minutes. It's kind of cool.
That's wild.
But you know, everyone, we call it a babysitter, right? So everyone kind of has like a base or a police complex or some kind of other military type building that kind of they're nearby, or prison, that can, you know, give them additional support should, you know, someone try to raid the farm or something like that.
And that's exactly what I was hearing. Is the, it sounds like a wild place, man. I heard the woman I was working with told me this horror stories of exactly what you talked about, different military coups, and they'll come to your farm and put a gun to your head and make you apologize to the workers and kneel out in the sun for 4 hours. But that was the olden days, and now it's gotten better. Like, how has it been as far as like the danger level? And then you as a foreigner walking around with your, with your dreadlocks, you know, you're kind of like, you seem, you must stick out.
Oh yeah. So there's me and one other dreadlock, as far as I'm aware, that are white and all the whole
country. In the country.
Both of us are friends with each other and know each other through Dragonfly. So that was pretty super funny. But, Zimbabwe, I must say, is probably one of the safest countries to visit in all of Africa.
Oh, that's good.
They have a very low gun possession rate. They don't really have any, you know, general animosity towards foreigners, with the exception of the virus stuff going on. You know, there's a little bit of anxiety around foreigners in Africa right now because of the virus.
Everywhere, everybody's nervous about their neighbors now. You're right.
Exactly. So, but aside from that, like, I've never had a single problem. I'd go out partying with the guys late at night, go to nightclubs and stuff. Harare is a really wonderful city to go out and about. It is like any other place, though. You know, you can go to the bad neighborhood of a certain area and get yourself in trouble, but
sure,
you can go to the bad area of LA or New York or, you know, Chicago or anywhere else and, you know, have the same kind of experience, right? So the only exception to that, I would say, that the places I've been to in Africa was Johannesburg. Johannesburg is a significant step up in terms of safety. I wouldn't recommend going there, but Zimbabwe in particular is a very safe country. Wonderful tourism. Some of the nicest, some of the coolest wildlife experiences I've ever had up at Manipul. Having, you know, a couple camps over were throwing their scrap food to hyenas and, you know, just hanging out. Like, that was a normal thing. Like, they were just like a dog or a cat or something. Like, it was
so cool. Yeah, that's killer, man.
And yep. Then getting a chance to see a bunch of indigenous grows. So got a chance to do a quick trip to Swaziland, see some grows down there. Got a chance to see some really cool grows that were 200 or 300 years old.
Oh my God, tell me about that. What do they look like?
Sure. So they grew up on the hillsides over near Nyanga. Anyone that's familiar with the country, is a big park called Nyanga. And kind of on both sides of the park, there's a lot of native growers who grow up in the hills. And it's similar to like California, except it's higher altitude. So you have kind of like the California kind of mistier mornings, and then it burns off into, you know, full sun in the afternoons.
Oh, yeah.
But higher altitude, you know, 4,000 to 6,000 feet. So you get that, you know, better trichome production and stuff like that. And the downside is it's also where you get both black and green mambas. So they have 24 different venomous snakes to deal with over where they are.
Fuck
where
we only have 18.
So we've had, so far at our farm, we've found a night adder, a black mamba, two different species of cobras, and a bush viper so far. So we've had all different types of stuff that we run into, and it's just, you know, you have your snake sticks, you pick them up, you put them in a box, and you put them at the far end of the property, let them go. We try not to kill anything as best we can, except for the mambas. We just let them go because they're way too aggressive.
Holy shit, man, that's hardcore. You got your snake stick.
But as soon as somebody sees one,
does everyone have their assigned snake stick?
Yeah, so we have like a pickup stick. So I worked with venomous snakes in the pet trade for a long time before this, so it was super exciting for me to catch a wild. Wow. Cobra, like, that was awesome. That was like and they all look at me like, this crazy white guy's gonna get us all killed, you know.
That's actually really cool, man. Isn't it funny how skills like that will synergize years down the road that you would never expect?
Oh yeah. So that's how I got into cannabis. Originally I was working in the pet trade, and we had a back room where we had a whole bunch of plants growing, and we were and then I went to another place and we had a basement where we were growing in the basement, and then ran the filtration through the fish tanks, through the air blowers, for all to aerate all the tanks. And with all the dogs and the cats and the smells, allegedly, you know, it hides the smell pretty well.
Dude, that's incredible. So here's the thing. I have till the top of the hour. We have the powerful Dr. Coco on. I want to talk to you about everything, unfortunately. Like, you're down in Oklahoma. You're a pet guy. I want to talk to you about Tiger King. Like, we can't go off on those paths, though. We have to stay focused. Let's bring it back around to global cannabis. That's really, really cool what you're doing, man. And that's why I recommend people think outside of the box. You have such a cool job, man. You seem so blessed, like, traveling the world, checking out these indigenous grows. I'm so fascinated by that.
Thanks. Yeah. So I get a chance to travel all over. Agillion actually has licenses in multiple countries, so we'll be eventually be in multiple countries in Africa producing for export to Europe and North America long term, as well as seed production.
Are you doing like THC export to Europe, or is it CBD? Is it for CBD dist? What happens to this product?
So we're doing both THC and CBD, as well as other chemovars. We have a couple of other genetics we managed to partner up with and get a couple of cool contracts with, some stuff that I can't announce publicly.
I was going to say, what are you growing? I want to know what's up there, man.
So I actually brought right now, so I think the coolest thing we have growing at the farm, I managed to get a hold of a bunch of Reunion Island landrace, thanks to someone who used to formerly work with Phylos. Had a whole bunch of Reunion Island seeds that I was able to get my hands on. So we're actually doing a huge back cross of Reunion Island that we're going to be able to put out there to have a bunch of just F2 Reunion Islands that are fresh off the boat that have been grown almost at the same latitude in Africa.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah. So for people that are wanting those rare genetics, and for anyone that doesn't know, the Reunion Island ones, a percentage of those genetics actually will continue to grow for up to 3 years and re-veg themselves and continuously produce. So you don't have to cut the plant down.
Oh, so that's wonderful for certain applications, specifically in, you know, like foreign countries and setups where they're already doing stuff like that.
Sure. It's basically like the genetic opposite of an autoflower.
That's really cool, man.
It's like that's a so perennial instead of an annual.
Okay. So let's see here. You were out there saving the world in Zimbabwe, having a blast, partying with the boys. What, the virus hits and did you have to flee home back to the States?
So basically everything's, they announced the first case happened in Harare and everything stopped. Within 24 hours, everything stopped. They had military checkpoints up the way it was like back in the old days everywhere. And it suddenly, the tone of the whole place changed. And then I called the embassy and they're like, yeah, we're telling everyone to get out by Wednesday. So it was like, okay, well, I'm getting out of here because they only have maybe a dozen respirators for the whole country of 14 shit, million man. People. So if you get sick there, you're not, you know, you need to get to South Africa. You're probably going to have a real bad day. So we just decided as a company to kind of, you know, pull out most of our staff. And then we hired a few extra people to kind of move out to the farm and refurbish an extra building so that we have extra staff that can just live at the farm. Their families can live at the farm with them. And we don't to worry about anyone traveling much except for supplies. So.
Jeez, oh man. And you get back and you go straight to Oklahoma? Did you have work to do there or how does that work?
Sure. So I actually have a couple of different consulting projects I work on at any one time. And as a group I had been working with since before I left Africa over here called Organic Innovations in Southern Oklahoma. And they have a 10,000 square foot aquaponic greenhouse. We have around 7,000 square foot of canopy. That's all aquaponic, which we'll show you in a little bit. And then we have two different flowering rooms, which right now the lights aren't on yet. And then we have 5 acres of outdoor that'll all be THC this year, which will be the largest THC grow that I've done. Nice. That we've done mostly mixed stuff in Africa between CBD and a couple of other CBG and THC. So we haven't, you know, it'll be fun. Man,
that is so exciting. Talk to me about working with this particular farm in Oklahoma. Talk to me about the Oklahoma scene. I have to say, I'm really jealous of you posting those pictures of that aquaponic chronic live sugar. That stuff is incredible. And up here in Illinois, we're paying like overpriced bullshit for an unprogressed market. I feel like we should be further along. Is Oklahoma maturing very, very quickly when it comes to their product availability and their knowledge of things like aquaponic and organic and that sort of thing? I mean, we have none of that here in Illinois right now.
Sure. So I would say there's definitely a greater percentage of people that are doing things organically in terms of soil. And then compared to most other markets, the exception being maybe Oregon and California, obviously you have such a culture there going back generations. But as far as Oklahoma goes specifically, we have the most number of aquaponic cannabis licenses of any state in the country in Oklahoma.
That's crazy.
So, yeah,
is it just a coincidence? They like the way it sounds down there in Oklahoma. Like, I wonder why so many people jumped on board with aquaponics there.
So there's a lot of people here and in Texas that have aquaponic vegetable, both commercial and home grows. And
so they're already familiar with the technology.
Oh, wow. You know, you got to remember the aquaculture, fish fries, you know, shrimp fries, all that. That's real popular, common thing in the South. That's not so much popular in the cities and stuff like that. So they have a real big culture of aquaculture, you know, from other types of things already. Oh, shit. So you know, adapting to something like this isn't a big stretch for them because they're already, you know, fairly familiar with the technology, at least to an extent.
Man, shout out to, what did you say? Organic Innovations. I'm sorry.
Yep.
I'm stoned.
Yep. Organic Innovations. They have clones, flour, and concentrates for sale, all aquaponically grown. We do all beneficial insects and probiotic pest management. We do not use any chemical management at all whatsoever.
Absolutely love it. Those pictures are mouthwatering. If you don't already follow Potent Ponics, you absolutely need to. I follow his Instagram and then I also, I don't know if it knows and it's given me the Organic Innovations post, but yeah, the live sugar, whatever that was called, the Aquaponic Chronic is out of this world, man. I would die to try some of that. Before we return to Stephen Raisner and check out his grow, let's shout out Fish Head Farms. Fishheadfarms.com is where you gotta go. Growcast is the promo code that gets you 10% off. Members of mygrowpass.com saving 25% on their fish shit. You guys have heard of fish shit. It's the full spectrum microbial product in a bottle. It's an ecosystem in a bottle. It's got a special cap to make sure that the microbial life arrives at your door flourishing, not dead, and it'll bring your media back to life. Fish shit, everyone. It's a great flushing agent. It is a microbial aid, which helps in bud development, overall yield, terpene production, aroma, and taste. We're talking with Stephen Raisner right now. It's all about that diversity, that microbial diversity to stimulate the plant's immune system. I'll be using fish shit this grow, so that's very exciting. And you can join me by going to fishheadfarms.com or check out fish shit anywhere. Promo code GROWCAST for 10% off. MyGrowPass.com members receiving 25% off fish shit. From seed to flush, fish shit will help your plants express themselves to their fullest potential. Fishheadfarms.com. Really, I'm interested in how you can easily integrate an aquaponic philosophy into a home grow. You know, people talk about using a fish poop fermenter, you know, things like that. Do you feel that that is sufficient to get the benefits of an aquaponic setup? Or do you feel that to get the full expression, you need fish of your own?
I'm glad you brought that up. So you had mentioned this when we'd first talked about the show and you want to talk about how could home growers really get their teeth in on building a system. So the best way to do that is, so say you have a aquarium. Okay. So you assume you have a 55 gallon aquarium. It's a pretty common, 4-foot aquarium that people have in their homes, or 75 or 90, whatever. And you have a grow tent. Well, and you have a grow tray in there and you used to grow it on your grow tray so that you maybe flood and drain or drain to waste. You can take a overflow box like you'd use for a saltwater aquarium and run that down into a tough tote. You can get it at Lowe's or Home Depot, and then plumb that in as a sump and then pump that right back to your fish tank. Now you can set that up and flood and drain off of that, or you can run that on the timer to water your plants, and now you can instantly convert your grow tent into a nice little aquaponic system and incorporate the waste off of your home aquarium. And then you just have to have a return line off of that pump to go back to your aquarium, and then it'll overflow from the aquarium back down to your sump box.
It's funny, we spoke with the great Leighton Morrison, and he basically, if I remember correctly, he said the same thing. It was like, if you have an aquarium, use that water on your grow. You're now in an aquaponic set. Congratulations. You are now in an aquaponic setup. Is it just cheaper and more effective? Like, I know, because there are some great products out there. I mentioned the fish ferments. There's products like fish shit that people swear by. To you, is it just more of a price point thing where if you have your own aquarium, this is essentially free nutrients, free water?
Well, there's a couple of factors to it. So let's look at the chemistry on it. When we have fresh fish waste, we're getting most of that nitrogen in a nitrate form, which the plants will very rapidly uptake compared to ammonia, which they love to uptake it, but it doesn't process quite as quickly. Even though there is an extra step where it has to convert that nitrate back to ammonia, the plants will actually absorb it faster. So by having that hyperavailable nitrogen, especially for veg, man, the growth rate you get with them is just such accelerated compared to what you get with any other type of soil or anything else. You know, it's much more akin to hydroponics than it is you know, in terms of speed of growth, but you also get all those microbes. You know, we talk about so much, you know, the living soil and making sure you get that biodiversity. Remember, around 78% of your microbes in an aquatic environment can live in your terrestrial environment indefinitely, given the right conditions. So you're also helping seed some of those microbes that maybe you're missing in your soil as well. Even if you're just dumping your, when you do your water changes, even if it's just top watering with your soil plants, you're you know, increasing the amount of nitrifying bacteria, you're increasing the amount of phosphorus solubilizing bacteria and some of the other chains that maybe you might be missing in your soil.
Man, it makes perfect sense. I'm so fascinated with this natural approach and I'm excited to get started slowly, but surely. I'm keeping it simple with my first super soil grow, adding some microbial products, you know, from our partners and that sort of thing. I was interested in your super labs that I saw you were working on. I don't want to take a turn here if you want to finish your thought on what we were just talking about, but I'm interested in the work you've been doing specifically with the super labs.
Sure. So the super labs was something I've been working on for quite a while. We basically take lactobacillic acid and the labs that people are familiar with, which we all know the different benefits. I'm sure you've had Chris Trump. I know you've had Chris Trump on your show and some other CANF experts to talk about.
We probably should have gone deeper into labs, but I feel that is something that's like kind of widely available. So we haven't spent a ton of time on it, but yeah.
For sure. So I actually differ on my recipe for labs after experimenting quite a bit. So I like prefer to use kefir. So I like to make labs by ordering kefir online, you know, Amazon, order it from 5 or 6 different places. So you get a bit of a diversity on your kefir microbes, combine all of that into a 5 gallon bucket with 4 gallons of milk. And then you're going to put in 4 cups of spirulina and 2 cups of kelp extract. And that's going to give you, the lactobacillic acid will break down the spirulina and the kelp extract and isolate both the auxins from the seaweed as well as the phycocyanin from the spirulina, which phycocyanin is the one of the main components for your chlorophyll A through E groups and one of the hardest ones for the plants to create in terms of energy. So by giving the plants that, they can absorb that both foliarly and via the root system, and it gives you this massive, rapid increase in growth on the plant, as well as increases the fungal growth in the soil. And the labs will also give you the extra vitamin B, because when you use the kefir labs versus the soil labs, the kefir labs have significantly higher vitamin B levels. So by giving the plant extra vitamin B, you're also increasing the speed of growth that way. So you're getting the benefits of the kelp hormones, the spirulina with the phycocyanin, and the vitamin B. So you're kind of getting like a triple growth speed increaser all at once that you can drink. You know, it's safe enough, you can drink the stuff.
Holy shit, man. That's crazy. That's really, really wild. So this differs because you're using the kefir, the kefir, or whatever it's called, and then also the kelp, and that's your special recipe. And this is your super labs, to clarify.
Yep, that's what I call super labs. Yep.
Fucking love it, man. Thank you for sharing that with my audience. I'm sure there's going to be, I know some people that are growing with these super simple setups where they only use, I don't want to misquote the guy, but he only uses labs and one other thing. And you know, the yield isn't great, but this is what he's doing. And he's getting better and better every run. I'm sure that listener is just absolutely grateful for you for sharing that. Well,
for sure. And I mean, does some other cool stuff. We had some peppers and I went away for a couple of weeks and came back and they were neglected and they hadn't been watered for 3 weeks, and you could crumble the leaves, if you know, like paper, if you squeeze them because they were so dry and dead. We added some of the super labs on it and they had new leaves out of each shoot 3 days later where all the leaves were. There was new growth and new branches coming out of each one. I couldn't believe it. It like resurrected these dead plants. But what I want people to think of is, take that example that I just presented with the spirulina and the kelp, and think about that in all of CANF, be it FPJ or labs. You can use this as ways to replace your baby bottles. So if you look at it with like a dynamic accumulator table, let me go down and pull up my notes here real quick, 2 seconds. You know, say for instance, if I want more nitrogen, I could ferment dill, peas, or cucumber. If I want phosphorus, I could ferment beets, cress, or beans. If I wanted potassium, I could do dandelions, radish, celery, or beets, or cucumber. Or if I wanted, you know, mango, I could do mango, or calcium, I could do mango, loofah, or cauliflower, or, you know, and so on. So you can unlock a large amount of a certain mineral by fermenting and breaking down plants that have high amounts of it in their tissue. And there's a great, if you go to the Aquaponic Cannabis Growers Group, we have the Dynamic Accumulators Excel sheet on there in the file section that was originally posted, I think, on Build a Soil. or Soil King. I don't remember.
Is that a Facebook group? How am I not in that group, man?
Yeah, we have a Facebook group of 6,000 aquaponic cannabis growers.
Well, I guess over I'm an aquaponic grower, but can I watch?
Sure. Yeah, it's facebook.com/groups/APCanna.
Awesome, man. I'll be jumping in there for sure. I'm glad you brought up. There's a lot to unpack there, man. Right off the bat, I'm just getting into growing veggies, you know? Like, I've had this experience of growing cannabis for many years professionally. I just now set up my re-established my grow, threw a couple of veggies in there, got absolutely hooked, and I'm kind of a beginner. I think there's a lot of people in this coronavirus who are starting to grow their own vegetables. I think there's a lot of cannabis growers who don't really have experience with food and that sort of thing. I'm glad you brought up the peppers. I wanted to ask you about capsaicin and pest control. Where do you want to take this?
Sure. So I don't actually use capsaicin in any of my pest control, but I do grow peppers as banker plants for my aureus all the time. So big fan of peppers there. But I don't actually, I've moved completely away from essential oil-based pest management because we're going to be doing primarily solventless extract here for this, you know, going forward, where we have a pure pressure press on the way and some other stuff coming. So we're going to be setting up a nice little solventless lab. So I don't want to put any kind of essential oils that might potentially change the flavor of my plants, which is a problem a lot of hash makers have when they're trying to fight things like PM or mites or things like that, where they're typically used to relying on chemical agents or essential oils, where now we're relying strictly on beneficial insects or Bacillus subtilis or Bassania Bavaria or Bacillus pomillus primarily for most of our controls.
You're making up some of these words, right? but you found capsaicin to be effective. You just prefer not to use it?
I haven't actually used it much. I know people that have used it in previously. I think if memory serves me right, I think Ed Rosenthal's product has it in there with the other essential oils.
Interesting.
But I don't, again, not for cannabis. Again, if you smoke it, it's going to be not the best day, right?
I feel you. Yeah. I'm just interested in capsaicin for a couple different reasons. And then also for my other show, the Coffee Health and Science podcast, I really want to do a deep dive into the health effects of spicy food on the human body. So I don't know if there's anyone who can hook me up.
One of the other interesting things about aquaponics and capsaicin, though, is we've done side-by-sides with soil and found that there's a significant increase in capsaicin in aquaponics versus soil in terms of pepper in the content of the pepper. So
they makes it hotter? Oh, shit. Yep. Oh, my God. So that's the other thing is I love eating hot peppers, spicy food, totally, totally obsessed with that. Back to the banker plant. For maybe someone who's just getting started, just tuning in, can you explain the concept of how banker plants work? And then why are peppers so effective as banker plants specifically?
Sure. So peppers, and to a lesser extent, some people also will use nightshades, although you shouldn't grow them around your cannabis because of the viral problems, which they can transfer a lot of viruses over to your cannabis, a lot.
Oh, man.
So don't ever grow them unless you have gophers eating your roots of your cannabis. Then you can intersperse some ground cherries or something. But
jeez.
Yeah, it works good for keeping them away. But the reason why, what was the original question? Sorry. One too many drinks before the show.
No problem. Explain banker plants, just banker quick plants, recap, and then why peppers are so effective specifically is my question.
Sure. So if a predator insect can't find another insect to feed on, it needs a protein source or some other energy source to feed on it. Otherwise it's going to starve to death. So many predator insects actually will fall back to pollen as a secondary food source if they are starving. They prefer to hunt other insects, but if there aren't any around, they'll fall back and eat pollen. So peppers continuously produce pollen, particularly ornamental type peppers, purple flashes, and some of the other similar type peppers continuously produce heavy amounts of pollen that the aureus in particular seem to really favor. So by having lots of ornamental pepper plants spread throughout your cannabis, either in a field like we're going to do in the 5 acres or even just in a greenhouse, it can provide a place for those predator insects to feed or even attract the native aureus and some of the other native insects that might otherwise not hang around your garden.
So just to break that down, one of the big problems with using beneficial insect management is you have to keep that population alive. If you release it into your grow, that's one of the things that's so challenging. So these are plants that are specifically designed to just keep the guards fueled for when the pests do in fact come. Then they're at the ready and they haven't died off because there's nothing for them to eat. I think I'm with you.
Absolutely. Yep. And there's other plants too that you can plant. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but that you can plant in order to encourage other ones to, you know, I know certain plants will increase, provide sites for them to lay eggs for certain beneficial insects. And then it's also important to know what your beneficial insects are. There's a big scary one here in Oklahoma called a wheel bug. And if it stings you or bites you, it can hurt for up to 3 or 4 months after the bite. But it is one of the best predators for grasshoppers and butterflies and moths, and actually can eat 3 or 4 large grasshoppers per day. And they're very skittish. They don't like to bite you. So if you see them, you might think it's a giant stink bug. It's going to mess with your plant if you're not educated. But if you leave them there, it actually can be one of your best garden allies in the whole state.
That's so fascinating, man. Do you have any insight as far as, or do you even put stock in companion plants? Like I've heard conjecture about, I don't know, yarrow encouraging terpene production, things like that. Is there any real science to back that up, or do you put any stock in it?
Sure. So you absolutely can grow other plants nearby to increase the biodiversity in the root system. And then further increase the terpene expression in the plant. Remember, the more you stimulate that plant's immune system, the more it's going to increase its terpene production. That's how the dual root zone works in aquaponics, where we have the terrestrial zone on the top and the aquaponics on the, or the aquatic on the bottom, is that we're giving it aquatic microbial chains that break down microbes completely differently than the terrestrial ones. And it, you know, gives a huge increase in biodiversity that plant's root system can have to create additional terpenes. So in the same way that it works in the dual root zone, adding companion plants, increases the amount of mycorrhizal fungi species as well. Things like purslane and grasses can have, 20 or more species of symbiotic mycorrhizal fungi that the cannabis might not be able to directly host itself, but those mycorrhizal fungi will happily trade resources with each other.
Wow. So, that's so crazy, because I've kind of speculated with Rich before that why wouldn't that be the case? If each kind of plant and root zone is its own marketplace, putting new and diverse and multiple marketplaces near each other has to create some sort of global trade system, if you will. I know you're coming at it from an extremely educated perspective, and we're coming at it from a lay perspective, but it makes sense, you know?
I often love to use the economy analogy, because it's kind of like how, when you talk about, well, how do sugars work? Well, all of the microbes are chaining sugars for nutrients, at a basic level. And by adding sugar, I'm basically devaluing the dollar on the market and making it so they can exchange goods for at a much, cheaper price. That's so, I mean, it's a very humanoid way to look at it, but it explains the whole concept very well.
I love it, man. Absolutely love it. Where else can we go before? I want to jump into your room here in maybe 5 or 10 minutes, but what else have you been working on specifically? You're staying at this farm. They actually wrote me and said, Stephen Reisner's living at our place. And I was like, that's awesome, man. That sounds dope. What else have you been up to down there?
Just been working down here. I got the farm I work with here. I have another company up in Canada I work with, on a couple of other projects. And then I have a couple of other different things, a couple of research things I'm working on with a couple of different companies. Some are under NDA, some aren't. That's most of the stuff I'm working on right now. I have a book I'm working on called Aquaponicea. I'm hoping to finish up by the end of the year. It's a really in-depth guide to aquaponic cannabis growing that I'll be putting out as a reference guide and a way, kind of a companion with the class that I teach.
Yeah, you got to let us know when that drops.
Absolutely. I'll send you a copy, don't worry.
Have you ever thought about getting into breeding and working on your own potent ponic strains, or have you already done that?
Oh yeah. So actually have some blue hash and some other stuff that I've been working on for a long time that we actually repopped here. And then some of those genetics I've given to a friend of mine, Mr. Green Jeans Garden, the guy who did White Wizard and a bunch of the other old school stuff, but from back in the day. He's a good friend of mine, comes on my podcast once in a while, and he's been doing a lot of back crossing for me. I also have some Zimbabwe Landrace that I managed to get a hold of, that we'll be doing some back crossing on and stabilizing. So that'll be a lot of fun. And then we have lots of cool stuff to go. Right now, I think our 10th planet is probably the best one that we have, followed by we have an incredible, just the stinkiest cut of GMO cookies. I know I personally don't like cookies at all, but this particular cut has changed my mind.
nice. I enjoy cookies myself. 10th planet, loving 10th planet, man.
Oh yeah. And then, I have, the fact that we can do 5 acres out here, I have a bunch of stuff that I've just had in my collection a long time that I just kind of wanted to pop. So I have a bunch of African stuff. I have some Himalayan stuff that we're going to be popping for the outdoor just to see what it does. And, if we get some males, they'll go into the breeding room and we'll see what happens. So I'm really excited, doing some pollen preservation and, just kind of training people on that stuff. We're working on getting some classes, to teach out here. We have some big names, both in the regenerative scene and the aquaponic scene that we're going to be doing some classes that we haven't announced yet later in the year, depending on how the virus goes, but, we're assuming that everything's going to slowly settle down and, we'll be able to actually teach some in-person classes by the end of the year. So
let's hope so, man. Crossed. That's really cool though. Loving the Oklahoma scene. Is it crazy down there?
So Oklahoma is an interesting place. So Oklahoma is the only state where everyone can be like fully armed, maybe not inside the grow, but the gun laws and the weed laws are pretty friendly. So that's a little bit strange where, a lot of times when you go visit as a consultant, half the guys in the front are, have like an AR or something.
An AR. Yeah. Wow. Well, there you go.
Whereas in Africa, they were a little less armed, which I thought was kind of funny in contrast. But not here, but I consult for a couple of other farms that I do in Oklahoma. But just in general, I see that a lot. And then
you walked in the farm, you're like, "This is my boat now. I'm captain."
Oh yeah,
now.
It's like going into a military compound. Whereas like I don't know what they're afraid of, because like in Cali, we grow out in the open. There's no fences half the time and stuff. And then over here, they're all worried about like people coming and. It's like, it's not like that anymore. Like there's this disconnect on that that I kind of don't quite understand when it comes to security. Not to say that people don't have stuff stolen for sure, but it's not like the old days where they're going to come in and, shoot the people on the property for over a couple hundred plants,
The cultural mindset maybe. And then also a younger market, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't know. I've spent a lot of
older people, the number one demographic in Oklahoma is people over the age of 50.
That's crazy, man. Are they all getting high? Because I mean, elderly
most
people
of them seem smoke
to
flower. Yeah, the concentrates are lower. They're not a real big on concentrates yet. It's kind of a younger market. But Oklahoma's been strange because they had such a cheap license. They still have it's $2,500 to get a license for a commercial license. So, and no plant count, right? So if I have 2,000 acres, I could do 2,000 acres for $2,500.
That's absolutely insane. Yeah. It's absurd.
So you have a lot of mom and pop people or people that are really good farmers have never seen a weed plant before. So I went to a grow and they had spent $2 million on this grow facility. Didn't know you had to switch the plants to 12-12. I went to a grow that like Septoria, man, I can't tell you how much I've seen Septoria in farms that were corn, wheat, or soybeans last year that they were just dead microbially and they put the cannabis in it or the hemp, depending on what they're growing. And they just get fusarium, Septoria, all these fungal diseases because there's no mycorrhizal fungi to fight it off in the soil.
Wow.
So it's the number one thing. If you are a newer grower in Oklahoma, as advice, and you're growing outdoors this year, inoculate your soil off the bat. Make your IMO. In fact, I got a fresh box of IMO. I could probably show you for when we switch over to the greenhouse that we just pulled.
I'm ready, man. I am absolutely ready. It's about that time. Let's see. Making sure we're recording here. Yeah. So we might lose a little bit of sound quality, of course, because of the grow room noise, but, show us what, you've been working on. I'm super excited to see. Camera should be kicking on.
Finally, headphones.
Oh yeah. Want to see some of that aquaponic. Chronic in action.
All right. I'm going to mute this mic and then I'll pop on.
Yeah. Yeah. Take your time. Do your thing. As we anxiously await to see the organic innovations grow in Oklahoma. Aquaponic Chronic available at a dispensary near you. I believe that's the live sugar, live resin. So many terms now. I'm not exactly sure, but it sure looks delicious. I know a delicious dab when I see one. I've heard so much about the epic aquaponic veg growth rate. I almost want to see this Steven Reisner grow and see them growing before my eyes on the Zoom stream. They'd probably be wise to do a time lapse. I bet an aquaponic time lapse, if they haven't done that already, that would be a great, great selling point. Boom, here we are. All right, looks like we got some hoops. Got to turn up my brightness.
Oh, God.
God. Incredible. So what am I looking at? This is
So most of these are citrus sap. This is one of our best producers for hash. Makes this incredible citrus hash. So we're going to be planting about 2 acres of it. So right now we have that in the main production beds. Once we're going to strip these down about 60% in the next 2 days, and they'll look like, let me find one we strip down. So we do clone production, all kinds of clones. We sell the clones, and then we also make them for ourselves. For the
oh my God.
Nice big snowball.
Whew. Oh my God. They look so lush. They look so super, super healthy. Now it looks like they're all different. It looks like those are kind of sitting in a hydroton type ball.
Yeah. So we have all different types. We have media beds, which is this. So this floods and drains. The water goes up and down and up and down. And these are in dual root zones, traditional media bed ones.
Oh wow.
And you can see the sumps down here.
And that's all the good fish water.
Yep.
Oh my God.
And I'll show you the fish here in a few. Then we have some more raft plants. All citrus, mostly citrus sap, a couple of others. And then we have some more plants over here. We're getting ready to go over into the other room. We'll actually use these guys to veg prep. Oh, gotta stick these up there. We're working over here and went to lunch break. So, but
man, such a nice open space. It's crazy. You paid $2,500 for this license?
Yep.
These
guys have just been in here since we got everything rebalanced. What you can see here is a little bit of the stuff on the leaf. This is what the beneficial mites come on. So we released 2 chimeras 2 days ago, and then this black stuff is what the baby the lacewings come on. We buy the lacewing larva, and then because it's so large, it's such a pain in the ass to do all these individually. Even if I just did the lacewing eggs, we just broadcast these over the top, you know, and just spread them out by hand, and then we can spread, you know, get the whole place. They fall down through the canopy and, you know, hang on to different places and not have to worry about it. And then show you a nice example of one of the roots here.
Whoop. Holy shit, my good Lord.
And this has only been in the system about 2.5-3 weeks.
Oh my God, man. That's incredible. Yeah. And there's no problem with like anaerobic anything. It's just all what, being bubbled constantly? How does that work? Being flooded and
drained? Yeah, so we have, if you see the pink, there's a pink box up on the wall in the back there. That has the blowers in it, and that's just a muffler so it isn't so loud. And that pumps down this line here to the manifold. Cool. And goes down into the water, and that runs down the center, and that has air stones all along. So these are kind of like a big DWC bucket, except it's real long and it's fed by the aquaponic.
That's so nuts. Man, this is so fucking cool. This has got to be super cost effective on a large scale, too.
Oh, yeah. Here, I'll walk you through the plumbing. We have a nice big banana tree.
Oh, my
God. We also grow lettuce for our local community. We're in the middle of nowhere, so we're the only people that provide local lettuce as well as basil. We have some Mrs. Burns lemon balm,
holy
tomatoes,
shit.
And stuff.
That's incredible.
Tomato clones. So we have the fish over here. In fact, these guys are being quite photogenic.
Awesome! Incredible.
So these are tilapia. These are the smaller ones that we have, which is already bigger than most people's. We have much larger ones over here.
Always one type of fish? Do you monocrop your fish?
So you can absolutely do multiple types of fish. I recommend doing a main species of fish and then a handful of catfish or other bottom feeders just to keep the system clean.
Oh my
and
God.
Then usually 1 or 2 algae eaters as far as a good balance. These guys are around closer to 10 pounds, 10 to 15
incredible.
Pounds.
Incredible. Oh, my God. Fat guys. Do you harvest those?
Just to give you an idea, that's my hand.
Yeah. Do you harvest these guys?
Absolutely. Yeah, we eat about 1 every 2 or 3 days.
Do you have to harvest them? Like, how does that work? Do they? Because they're getting huge. Like,
Yeah, so these guys should have been harvested a long time ago. So we're just kind of playing catch up and thinning them down. I wanted to actually switch them over to yellow perch because you can get a lot better prices for yellow perch. So that's what I'd rather do.
This is so incredible, man.
So the fish waste goes down the pipe here in the middle, underneath, out the bottom, across here. We have a clear out in case it gets clogged. And then it goes up through here. We have a gate valve in case we ever need to shut it off. This is a big settling tank. So the fish waste can kind of go to the bottom. It settles down here. And then this can be flushed out and run up over here to here where it comes out into these two tanks here. So we have real thick, heavy fish waste. And then we basically make a compost tea out of this. So you have this functions like a biofilter. And this basically just brews and brews and brews internally. And well, constantly, once a day, we pull the waste out of there. So this constantly is mineralizing, and then we can take a portion of this back into the system to add the minerals from the fish waste. After we shut it off for about an hour or so to let it settle, and then we take off the clear water, and that's heavily mineralized, and then we run the rest of it over to the media bag. After it goes through the settling tank, it goes over here to the biological filter, which is a nice net filter. And then we have a secondary net filter, just guarded so it doesn't get algae. And then we have a moving media bed reactor, which is this stuff here, which again just kind of functions like a compost tea brewer, allowing those microbes a place to live and brew. And when we add things like recharge or other beneficial microbes, we'll
damn.
Pour them in.
So that's where you can add little boosters. Oh my God.
And it'll brew and brew and brew and brew because it's kind of slow. So it has a chance to brew up almost like an inline brewer.
So you're not restricted to just the fish. You can actually add to the system.
Exactly. And then it runs to the sump. And then when someone remembers to turn the water off, it's not flooded no more. But this runs down on the ground to each of the main line feeds to here. And then we have an additional line that runs off of the mineralization tank that runs off of the line over here. And then we'll be adding greenhouses on that side of the wall that will be able to run off of this. We'll add another sump tank, and then we'll plumb that into its one giant system. But currently it's 18,000 gallons.
I am stunned. This is so cool. And what strikes me is I feel like if you can solve the energy, this is like a closed loop system. This is you could do this as long as you have the lighting source. And like I said, the energy, it's like you could do this on Mars.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let me show you another. Let me pull up one of these other plants. Give you some more root corn. This one should be good.
Yeah, show me some of the aquaponic growth. Jesus cripes.
And they're thick. I mean, it's just a mass of roots.
I've never seen anything like
it. You can't even.
It resembles a DWC, but it looks even more kind of beardish, matted, like it's, you said.
I think it's strange how they kind of prune when they hit the bottom. They don't, like these have been in here for about 2 months, and they don't really they grow much longer than that. They don't really need to. So.
My God, man, this is so cool! I absolutely love it.
We'll have to come back in a month or two when we get the 5 acres in. Tell you all that.
Man,
we actually have that. Actually, I'll talk about that too, because that's really cool. So we actually have a pond that's about an acre, probably bigger than that, maybe about an acre and a half, two acres, that is filled with catfish and bluegill. And that's going to be the water source for the 5 acres. So we're basically going to do like an aquaponic, decoupled aquaponic 5 acres of outdoor in the soil fed from a heavily fed fish pond. So
you can really do cool. This in a natural setting. I would love to see that proved out.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm sure that was the original way, right? Like that was probably, that's probably the traditional way, but I'm such a fan of this because, oh, that's so cool. I'm such a fan of this because it's like you have your own little, you know, like the biggest little farm, like you have your own closed loop system here, man. This is fucking stunning to me.
There you go.
Whoa.
Some corn roots.
My God. This has got to be super cost effective the way you do this. And that's why it's attractive to people in Zimbabwe.
We only have to top off the system for water. We add iron. That's probably the single biggest expense. We adjust the pH, and then, you know, we do a few minor adjustments for micronutrients, molybdenum and manganese eventually get depleted.
How's the dry weight bud yield? I know the quality is supposedly superior to everything.
Sure. So we can actually shave anywhere from 5 to 14 days off of the flowering time, depending on the strain. And then we can grow them in half the time in veg.
So that it obliterates yield, any yield.
Exactly. So if we're doing apples to apples in the same time frame, we're talking at least 30 to 40% increase in yield. If we're growing just against the soil, you know, control. But if you're doing just a harvest to harvest, and you're doing equal sized plants, we do get about a 10 to 15% increase in production, and we get an enormous increase in terpene production. That seems to be the single biggest place with the terpene and cannabinoid production. We've hit, you know, some ludicrous numbers in some of the tests that we've done. So.
I'm stunned. This is the best way to grow cannabis. I'm just saying it. This is blowing my mind. This is a lot of questions have popped up in my head during this video. So we're going to have to do another podcast really, really soon here. My God, look at that.
Just four roots have come down and turned into this whole.
Four roots. That's insane. I've never seen root growth like that. It's different. It looks different than DWC pictures that I've seen.
Yeah, and shout out to, we use a Recharge and Grow More, but I started adding Grow More. We just got sent out a sample of that. It's 5 gallons.
I'm not familiar with Grow More. I know everybody loves Recharge, but Grow More, fill me in.
Actually, I can go show you the box over here. But Grow More is a beneficial archaea. They're the only one on the market that I'm aware of. But it actually made a night and day difference in how clean all the roots are. Like, the roots were white before, but they're like ivory neon white now.
Jeez. Grow More.
Huh? Box of it. Actually, we were talking about the KNF. So, let's come over here. 1 second. We have our KNF box.
Nice.
Right here. I just grabbed. So, to the KNF collection. There's some pill bugs in there.
Whoa. And you went and collected all that?
Yep. So we put this out. We put a box out every week.
Whoa.
And then we have some over here. We got more different soil inputs and stuff. Here's some IMO too. Already done.
Jeez. Did you eat those cheese balls yourself?
Containers.
Yeah.
Yeah, we save those and use them for IMO. It's really good containers for that. And then we have our labs with the serum. We have the super labs. You can actually see the phycocyanin layer. You base that off, and that's what you use. And you use this at like a 750 or 1,000-to-1 ratio. If you're gonna heal like a really fucked up plant, you can use it at like a 300 or 400-to-1 ratio when you're watering. It's kind of like, it's like a resurrection serum, but your last ditch effort to bring something back.
That's wild, man.
Yeah, we keep up with all of our labs, and we have all our different inputs, and we have our cloners. We have some nice clones in here.
I feel like a dick for having spent so much money on nutrients.
So, and you can see how healthy the clones we make are. I mean, these are all in 1 gallon. We leave them in 1 gallon because if they end up sitting a little while, I don't have to water them so damn much. Because people do party cups or clones, and you end up having to water them like every other day if they're sitting there for any length of time if you get any kind of setback. So always like putting them straight to the 1 gallon.
Ooh, I like that. Good advice. I absolutely love that advice. You like that root, that kind of up potting root structure? You don't mind having that 1 gallon be the start?
Oh yeah, especially with these cloth ones, because they're easy enough. You just let them dry out for a day and they, you know, they come right out. And then I can wash them. You just throw them in an IBC tote with some bleach, you wash them and reuse them. The same way as you do with the rest of your pot.
This is crazy, man. Who'd have thought that you just use goat milk and fish poop and you're growing the best cannabis at the lowest cost point?
The speed of growth, I mean, is insane. Anyone that's looked at my Instagram or videos from the YouTube, Facebook will see these plants over here were this tall like just a couple of days ago.
It's fucking crazy, man.
Like not even like a week ago, they were down here.
Have you done a time lapse? I was saying while you were getting the camera together, I would love to see an aquaponic time lapse.
I haven't, but you know what? I'll start one next week. And we'll
please do that, man. I would love to see that. I hope that I inspire you to do that.
No, that'd be great. We have a couple of strains. So these ones were some moms we had in the other room that had a malfunctioning light, so we had to bring them back into veg. So, but they're coming back around. We just want to get a couple of good cuts off of them so we can reset them. So,
man, this is beautiful. I don't know what to say.
Here you go. This is what I was looking for earlier. So this is what we'll hack them back to. So they'll go from these giant ones back down to something like this, and they'll be back up to this in another week.
I see.
It's crazy. So, and we can crank 15 to 20,000 clones out of here a week. So to give you an idea.
Beautiful, man. This is a thing of beauty. Never seen anything like it.
Any other questions, Brad, about the system or anything else?
Can I come visit?
Anytime you want, man. We got extra guest rooms and everything, man. You can come stay out here for a night or two. Have some fish tacos.
Oh, man. You are totally enticing me. No, man. I don't have any more questions. Here's my only question. It's more of a request. Let's get you back on the show as soon as possible, because this has inspired more questions. We're loving what you do. We love promoting you as any way we can. At Potentponics, potentponics.com. Is there anything you want to plug? There's a question for you. What can you
do? Yeah, actually, if you're cool with it, I love. So I started a lot of people have aquaponics systems, and maybe they don't know how to handle the nutrients. Maybe they have a commercial system they bought and don't know what they're doing, but they need to get the nutrients fixed or having deficiencies and stuff. A friend of mine, Roger at True Aquaponics, and I started a subscription service where you can sign up over there at trueaquaponics.com. We'll test your water for you, and we'll come up with a nutrient balance, a packet that you tear open, pour in your sump. It's fish safe, and we can do organic or non-organic depending on the
quality. That's a great business model, man. Did you not? I don't think I've heard about this.
Yeah, so all you do is you pay the fee, we send you bottles, you put your water in, we send you a packet, you tear it open, you pour it in, and the plants grow. You don't have to think, you don't have to know anything about chemistry, you don't have to do any of the hard part. We take care of everything, the dosing, the sourcing, and all that stuff, all for you to make sure that you'll have the best plant growth possible. And we've had quite a few both vegetable and cannabis farms take us up on that, and we've had not a single customer stop using the service since they subscribed. So
that's
it's
crazy,
a really awesome
man.
Service, especially for people that are struggling with their aquaponics farms. It can really help you get back on your feet and help you eliminate that. Later in the year, we're going to start also adding pest management as an additional service. Look for that in the future. We're just not quite done getting all the back end of that on the website, but we have everything sorted out. So look for that as well. But kind of simplifies all the complicated portions of aquaponic growing for those that are trying to, they're motivated and they got the rest of it right, but they're just struggling on the plant part. We can get you sorted out.
Fucking genius. True aquaponics.
TrueAquaponics.com. Yep.
Love it. Steven, stay safe out there, man. Thank you for all you do with all your consulting, all your education, and of course, taking the time to come on GrowCast. You're always so enthusiastic and quick to schedule. I really love that, buddy. Thank you so much. And you take care of yourself, okay?
Yeah, anytime. And if anyone else wants to keep on following the education, check me out over at...
Oh, no. We lost him. Test 1, 2. Are you there, buddy? I think we lost him. I think he was going to say potentponics.com and at potentponics. I'm pretty sure that's what he was going to say. So if not, we apologize. But there you have it, folks. Looks like we're wrapping up the show. Make sure to follow GrowCast on Instagram at GrowCast. And thank you all so much. This is Jordan River and Steven Reisner signing off, saying be safe and grow smarter. That's our show. Thank you all for tuning in. I hope you're doing wonderful things in your garden. I'm having a great time. Make sure to follow me at the Cocoa for Cannabis Challenge if you want to see what's going on. And of course, at GrowCast on Instagram. Shout out to Danny Danko and his book, Cannabis, a Beginner's Guide to Growing Marijuana. A must read for beginners and also a great book just to have, even if you're a pro. GrowCastPodcast.com/Danko will get you a copy. And if you're a member, let us know when you buy. GrowPass members get their copy signed. Very, very cool. Cannabis, a Beginner's Guide to Growing Marijuana. I just recommended this book to someone and they read the whole thing in one night, because they're awesome. So shout out if you're listening. And they said it was incredible. I said, give me a rating. They said 9 out of 10. Awesome stuff. Shout out to Illinois Cannabis Consulting, illinoiscannaconsulting.com, for all your consulting needs in the Midwest and beyond.
Let's Get Growing. Shout out to jblanksoundcloud.com/jblanked for doing the beat. All right, everyone. Best of luck in your grows. Stay healthy. Stay safe. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.